It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
It's time for game three of this four-game series between the Chicago Cubs and the Arizona Diamondbacks.
A high fly ball hits a deep right field. Forget about it! Long gone! Kyle Tucker with his first home run as a Cub.
People stand in line to see the boy King.
Matt Shaw will pinch hit for Gage Workman. Here's the pitch, hit in the air, left field deep. Back goes Gurriel near the stands. That ball is going to be gone for a home run. His first in the big leagues, and the Cubs now lead 4-1.
Future!
So what? They'll blow in the ninth.
Here's the pitch. High fly ball, left center field and deep. Back toward the fence is Pete Paul Armstrong, and that ball is going to be gone. A home run for Eugenio Suarez. And suddenly it's a one-run ball game.
Time is a flat circle of everything we've ever done or will.
And the pitch, a little one-hopper toward short. Tough play for Swanson, no play. And now Dansby's going to get a man in a rundown, and he tags him out. Dansby Swanson on one of the more bizarre final plays of a ballgame run that you will ever see.
Good morning, everybody. Sing along. Ba-ba, ba-da-ba-ba, ba-ba, ba-da-ba-ba. It's Hit and Run on 670 The Score, and here comes the low brass. You know, Robbie Triano's open right there was full of joy and zest. There was like Steve Martin in there singing King Tut. I need you to put a kuh on that. Get in the studio, open up a microphone, and just go kuh. Cuh, cuh, and then staple it on.
It's like what you do with Mike Murphy,
right?
With the mit.
Yeah,
mit.
Exactly. That's my story. I did mit, mit to do missed it by that much. But get in there and do a cuh. But anyway, it was boisterous. It was exciting, but it was all Cubs. You're just gonna like feed this WCUB thing just because they had a really good, fun, exciting game last night. And the White Sox lost 1-0 yesterday. Don't do that to us. It's hit and run. We've got Corey Lee on the show really soon, in like 12 or 13 minutes. White Sox catcher Corey Lee. Looking forward to talking to him. We've got Steve Stone at 10 o'clock. We'll talk plenty of White Sox. We also have John Birdie of the Cubs at 11 o'clock. And we'll talk plenty of Cubs, in fact, in a matter of moments. But don't deny the White Sox from yesterday. Here's the manager, Will Venable, on a 1-0 loss when they had only two hits.
Good game, you know. Obviously we weren't able to string anything together offensively, but the defense was great. The pitching was great. You know, Cannon with the ability to work around a first inning with some traffic there. Overall, a lot of good stuff.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. The White Sox have been a good baseball watch. Frustrating to have only two hits yesterday, I know, but they're playing clean, they're playing crisp, pitching's been good, vibes are good. Opening day was incredibly fun, according to all that were there. And we'll talk to Corey Lee in about 12 minutes about the new manager and the new vibes. Good morning, everybody. It is Matt Spiegel. It is Hit and Run here on 670 The Score. We are broadcasting live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. If you want to hop in along the way, your phone calls and texts are not merely welcome, but they are elemental to the very completion of the broadcast. You can grab us at 312-644-6767. Coming up later on, Cubs and Diamondbacks will conclude their series this afternoon. Pre-game coverage will begin at 2:35. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer will be on the call for first pitch at 3:10 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. Look, we need to talk about the final play from that Cubs game last night, okay? Because there are a lot of good things that are going on with the Cubs. They've looked sharp in their first two of three in Arizona. Stateside has looked like a different team, felt like a different team after the two in Japan. You heard the score call. Let's hear the marquee call of the last play of the game last night when it's men on first and second. Corbin Carroll, very fast runner at the plate, and it's a weird squib of a ground ball over to Dansby Swanson.
The 1-2. Swanson will pick it up, and now racing at Garrett Hips, and he's got him,
what
and he's out.
What a play.
Unbelievable. Dansby Swanson with a heads-up play, and the Cubs finish it off.
Just spectacular. There was no chance to get Carroll at first base. Eyes immediately go to the runner, who takes the aggressive turnaround third. And just spectacular work from Dansby Swanson. Oh, my goodness. What a way to end a ball game.
So it's rare as a defender you get a chance to full-on deke a base runner. It's really rare. I was trying to think about it. I mean, the first thing I think of, maybe just because I'm old, was Greg Gagne of the Minnesota Twins doing it to Lonnie Smith of the St. Louis Cardinals. Got to be 87 World Series when he deked Lonnie Smith and made Lonnie Smith slide into second, and that kept him from advancing all the way to home on a double to the gap. It was in the middle of the World Series. I just remember being a kid going, oh my God, is that cool. Made Lonnie Smith think it was going to be a ground ball double play. And so Lonnie slid, and then he got up and made it to third, but didn't score, and he didn't score in that inning. Anyway, but like the hidden ball trick, you know, all the different times you've seen the hidden ball trick in your life, maybe. But to be Dansby Swanson and to fake that throw and to deke Garrett Sampson into making a wide turn at third base was just awesome. Here is him, Dansby Swanson, post-game with Taylor McGregor talking about the play.
All right, walk me through what you saw on that play.
Just with kind of game speed, with the way he runs, no chance at first base, and just play the play all the way through. Fake a throw and see what you got, and luckily worked out for us.
I mean, it's like, it's crazy heady and fun. Dansby would later say that while in college at Vanderbilt, they practiced everything. They talked through everything. They like dealt with that kind of play because you could tell how quickly the instinct kicked in. Here's Craig Counsell after the game talking about that play.
Yeah, I mean, the three words that I've used, like experienced, instinctual, athletic, I think it was the definition of those three things. It was just a brilliant play, and it's a play that, you know, in real time, just think about it, like he's thinking about that play before he catches the ball, like in that time from when it's hit to when he catches it, which is, what, second? That's what's running through his mind. And that's just great instincts, man. That is incredible. And then, you know, he took a good angle on him and got a really athletic guy and made a great tag.
I mean, it's just so fun to see stuff like that. And it goes along with other things you've seen so far. The Pete Crow Armstrong throw last night was outrageous to get Josh Naylor. Live, you couldn't tell if that throw was a short hop and a good pick by Gage Tater Workman. Thinking of you, Marshall Harris. You couldn't tell whether that throw was a short hop. No. And then you see on the replay, it was insanely perfect. That is on the fly from right center to like the glove 18 inches above the ground, where Workman just catches it and drops the glove down to make the tag. And then the crowd boos the overturn of the replay. Did you guys see Pete cup the ear as he ran off the field? The crowd is booing the replay, and Pete just does a very quick cup of the ear with his hand. Kid has swag. I remember last year, early on in the season, and maybe it was even in 23, talking about how the Cubs needed that kid's swag. They still do. Teams need some arrogance. They need a little bit of arrogance. And that kid's got it. And it seems like he has kind of taken some of the humbling that happens in MLB when you're a young player and you get exposed to all the good pitching. And yet he has kept enough of the confidence, swag. You know, it's an interesting thing because I'm thinking a lot, frankly, in my personal life about the difference between confidence and arrogance. I've thought about that a lot in my life. And so it's weird because, like, you got to be confident, but arrogance can get you in trouble. Pete's got that well-defined, and that is going to serve him. I loved seeing him cup the year. I thought that was badass. And the throw was freaking perfect. I mean, Michael Busch made a really good play in the first inning with a dive and then a quick decision to run to first and dive at the bag to get, was it Carroll? I think it might have been Carroll. I forget who it was. It might have been Marte. They got a lot of good fast players on Arizona. Arizona's a good team. But I kept thinking about something Cliff Floyd said last year about the Brewers when he called them a button-up team. When you're playing against a button-up team like Milwaukee, you got to be careful and you got to be sharp with everything. And there were times last year and certainly before that where the Cubs were not. And this year, I think they're going to be a button-up team. And don't you think they've looked like it already with the different things you've seen? Now with somebody like PCA to be in center every day to go along with Happ, a multi-gold glover out there in left. You had Birdie last night at second, but you know what Nico is. And then Dansby with that crazy play. I mean, all of it. And if they're a button-up team and the base running's good as well, then they'll win some games in the margins. And that will be a big, big deal. The concern, of course, is the closer. Ryan Pressly gave up a two-run homer to Eugenio Suarez because that's all he does. All he does is come up and hit two-run homers. Especially.
And also four home runs in that series so far.
Yeah, he's got four homers. He's tied for second in runs batted in baseball behind Aaron Judge. And yes, we will get to the Yankees and their goofy-ass bats and what the hell is going on with the sanctity of the barrel and the handle and the knob and the whole thing. We'll get to that at some point during the show. But Eugenio Suarez with the two-run homer off Ryan Pressly. And Pressly was a little bit scary. Remember that last year, Adbert Alzolay had five blown saves by the 3rd of May. Five by May 3rd. The team blew 17 saves in their first 81 games. So you need a closer. Porter Hodge looked good in the eighth inning. Nasty slider to Pavin Smith to finish that inning. Lots of emotion for Hodge as he goes off the field. And then Pressly was a little bit scary. And it's going to be interesting to watch. Last year, Presley's velocity was down. he was on the score the day he was signed and was asked about that specifically. And I remember him saying that there were some mechanical issues that last year affected his velocity. That can absolutely happen, people. So we'll have to see if those things are improved or can be improved. There was also last year the fact that he was dropped to set up for Josh Hader, which is sensible but bothered him. And the tricky thing about baseball is that sometimes being bothered and upset by a situation can also affect your mechanics. So one thing can affect the other. Either way, Ryan Pressly, a little scary last night, gave up the two-run homer and then was in trouble again and then gave up the squibby little grounder that Dansby turned into a brilliant play to end the inning. So we will see. Pressly is obviously something that needs to be monitored. Where will they go if need be? And how long is that leash for a guy that you traded for? He greenlit. Remember, he greenlit the trade, waived his no trade clause because he needed to be the closer. And so you've guaranteed him that, at least for a while. And we'll have to see how the stuff develops, how the velocity develops, and how the scariness develops. Got textures already at 312-644-6767 saying Ryan Pressly's old and bad. Here's another. Ryan Pressly is heart attack Hector 2.0. Oh, in fact, that texter called him Ryan Stressly. Ha! There it is. I wonder if that one ever found him in Houston. I don't know.
I had the same Hector Neris thought yesterday. Like, oh, another Astros pitcher that sucks. Well, it doesn't suck yet. But
no, he
disappointing.
Doesn't. Simmer down. You know who knows Ryan Pressly? You know who caught him a little bit in Houston? It's Corey Lee. We're going to talk to Corey Lee from the White Sox in a matter of moments. Corey Lee has a World Series ring. He didn't play on that Astros team in the World Series, but he was on the roster, and he was active, indeed, for a game. So we will ask him about that at one point. And yes, texter, Pete Crow Armstrong flew around the bases. Flew! I mean, just like, that was a double by Miguel Amaya down the line that didn't even reach the wall. And PCA scored with ease from first base. Yeah, it's so fun to have baseball back. It is so fun right now to be hanging out on MLB.com and looking at all the scores of yesterday, looking at the slate of games today. We are still on the 30th of March, but there are standings to look at here. We got all kinds of stuff to look at. Baseball is in full swing. You're listening to Hit and Run on 670 The Score, the first Sunday of a full regular season. I am Matt Spiegel, your host on The Score, and very pleased right now to bring in Sox catcher Corey Lee on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Corey, thanks for talking to us this morning. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Oh, man, I'm great. Yeah, it's just me solo, baby. I get to do whatever the hell I want on a Sunday morning in Chicago talking baseball. Who can beat that, right?
No one. You're beating me right now. I get to go play a baseball game, so I think I got you beat there.
Yeah, you do, Corey. Yeah, you do. It seems like an entirely different vibe and feeling around your team. So just tell me and tell the listeners how it feels to you.
It's exactly what you said. I said it earlier. We got a new team, new managers, new facilities. I mean, it's a completely new aura that we kind of got going on, and I'm excited to be a part of it. We got the right guys. We got the right staff. We're in a beautiful place called Chicago, and there's not a lot to complain about. So we're rolling right, and hopefully we can get this series win today.
What do you like about Will Venable as a dude?
He's completely transparent, man. He's been in our shoes before. He was a great big leaguer in the beautiful city called San Diego, and I got to look at him as a player when he was playing there, and obviously just him being in our shoes and him being able to relate to us goes a long way, and we want to play for him. He wants to be there for us, so it's a really, really good communication system that we got, and we can go out there and fight as a team.
So are you telling me that when you grew up in Vista, California, you were conscious of Will Venable, player for the San Diego Padres?
He was one of my favorite players out there, man. It was fun to watch him in the old Padres blue. New Petco Park and everything. So I grew up watching him, and that was one of the first things I told him was that actually I got to watch him a lot playing, and he kind of paved the way for where I'm at today.
That's pretty cool. Talking to Corey Lee of the White Sox, you mentioned the new facilities. What's new that you're taking advantage of right now?
We got everything that you need to recover. We got everything you need to get better. We got the new Traject machine to hit off live pitching whenever you're not in the field. We got the best weight room I think I've been in. You got cold tubs, you got recovery systems, we got a great locker room, great staff, and it's setting us up to be a winning ball club, and that's all you can ask from front office, from organizational-wide thing, and we're taking full advantage of it, and we're ready to rock.
That's good to hear. White Sox didn't always have that stuff. Some of it was just, it kind of passed them by, but it passed other organizations by. Like, all organizations are at different levels with that stuff. It's good to hear that the White Sox have caught up. That matters when new players come. Have you seen new, because you've got a bunch of new experienced vets on this team who've been in other organizations. Have you seen those guys come and be like, oh, cool, we got this.
Yeah, they're blown away by it. I was actually in the weight room early on the first day when everyone was coming in here, and everyone was just kind of getting the grounds right, figuring out the whole locker room and figuring out where stuff was, and everyone's face coming into the weight room and in the training room was super surprised by everything that we've had here, and asking questions about it. And I said, yeah, man, just you got to take full advantage of it because we have it. And if you have it, why not use it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You got a bunch of capable, solid pros as the experienced vets on this team. Give me a guy that you have enjoyed being teammates with among that group so far. Who have you enjoyed?
We got a lot, man. It goes from someone that I've been around for quite some time now, Andrew Vaughn. He's basically the vet in the locker room right now, too, which is incredible. Yeah. He's had a great start to his young career, and then I've been around Andrew Benintendi for the last 2.5 years, and that guy knows how to just be a professional baseball player, man. He's seen winning ball clubs in Boston. He's been around All-Stars. He's been around Hall of Famers. He's done it all, man, and he's a really, really down-to-heart guy. He's there for the right reasons. He's very approachable. He'll tell you how it is, and he's also just fun to be around. So I think having the combination of the laid-back guys, but also the guys that have seen everything, that's done it, it's a really, really cool feeling to have those guys around me.
So how about the new guys? How about the new vets, your brand-new teammates this year? Give me a guy you've enjoyed so far.
I've enjoyed Maton. I've enjoyed Michael Taylor. I've enjoyed Austin Slater. All these guys, man. Like I said, I enjoy people that have been around the game longer, and I get to learn from them. And I think that goes a long way, just because they've done things, they've seen things that I haven't even seen yet, that I haven't even been around yet. And I appreciate that from them, because they're willing to give me some information that I can take. I'm only 26 still, and I can take it for however long I want to play this game now. And I'm really, really fortunate to have those guys in my corner.
I'm enjoying getting to talk to Corey Lee. You've always come off like a dude whose head is in the right place. And the way you're, like, has that always been you, or do you work to be in a good mood? What's it like to be Corey?
I enjoy life, man. I enjoy doing this job every day. I enjoy being around people every day. I enjoy learning the game. I enjoy just treating people right, man. That's kind of the name of the game in my life. And I'm always happy to play baseball, man. I always say I have the best job in the world.
Yeah, you do. And you know what? It's like you got a lot of good people to learn from now. You got a catching coach. It's Butera who's the catching coach, right?
Yep.
And now you got Walker McKinven too, who's noted for working with catchers in Milwaukee. What has Walker been talking to you? Because that's an interesting hire for fans to get to know about.
Yeah, we've been talking just about like the importance of the catching position. A lot of people don't think about all the things that go into the catching position, but I think we've just narrowed in on those fine print notes about the catching position. It goes behind the scenes on communication with the pitchers. It goes on the homework that you're doing before the series comes. It comes with every single pitch. I'm going to try to win this pitch for the pitcher. Like, We've dove in really, really deep into just the position rather than just doing it. And I think that went a long way, and that's taught me on what I can, what I can't do, what I should do, and just kind of gave me some more options to do behind the plate just so I can be a successful catcher in this league.
You know, it's interesting. Joe Girardi once said to me, and I've never forgotten it, that the catcher needs to be more worried about the pitcher than he is about his next at-bat.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. But that's such a mind bleep in some ways, though, isn't it? Like, when you, because you want to be successful, but is that true? Is he right about that?
Yeah, no, I believe he's completely right. I think if I catch my ass off back there and I put us in a good position to win the game, then I know my other eight offensive players are going to do the right thing, even if I went 0-for-4 or with 4 punchies, whatever it is. But if I caught a hell of a game back there and I let them not score more than 2 runs or caught a complete game shutout, whatever it is, that's a win in my books. And I think that's the most important part about catching.
Did you have to learn that at Cal or in the Astros system or something like that?
Yeah, no. I learned that at a young age when I was in with Astros. Maldi paved a really, really good way for me. Just kind of told me how to compartmentalize catching. There's going to be days where you're going to go 4-for-4, but then the most important thing is getting behind the plate and catching a solid 9 innings for your pitchers. And I think that resonated with me really, really early, and it stuck with me. And I'm really, really fortunate to be around great players like that.
That's Martin Maldonado, who Corey Lee is talking about. It's like one of the all-timers in terms of that stuff, you know? And it like, and his offense, it never mattered. It never mattered to managers. It was like, you just see what he's doing. World Series ring as an Astro. On the roster, active for a game but did not get in. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. Where's the ring? Where's the ring, Corey?
The ring is in a safe in San Diego, just holding its value. And whenever I get bored and whenever I want to remind myself, I just break it out and I put it on my hand.
Have you thought about, like, wearing it, like, showing it off to your teammates? And, like, yeah. Go ahead.
Not yet. There's been a couple instances where I've broke out the card on some people and they don't know about it, which is a cool little fun fact. Obviously, I'm not taunting it, but very, very fortunate to get that in the first year, and it makes you want to go get another one, man.
Yeah, and I'm picturing you like a little bit of Crash Davis and Bull Durham, just like, you know, like you've been there, you've been to the promised land, dude. And eventually, like with your grandkids, you could invent some stories on it if you want. They won't look it up.
Yeah. I'm going to tell them that I hit like the walk-off homer or something about it.
That's what I'm saying. Man, fans love hearing about the facilities and stuff. I just got a text from a good fan who's like, man, that's what I love hearing about. It's like, because the Astros, where you came up, are known for being ahead of the curve. And like, pitchers would go there and they'd get better, you know? Yeah. And it's like, and that's what you dream of the White Sox being. Do you think that the Sox can be a place that eventually is thought of as that's a place where free agent pitchers can go and get better? That's the dream.
Absolutely. I think this place, just going across the history, man, Chicago is a beautiful place. Me coming from the West Coast and not really knowing what Chicago had to offer, and I came here the first day and it felt like home now. And I say that all the time, that this is our home for 6-7 months out of the year, and there's no really better place to do it rather than in Chicago. And you got history here, you got the Cubs rivalry, you got everything here, man, and a lot of people don't know about it, and I'm happy and fortunate to be a part of this now, and we're ready to get this thing going.
You live in downtown, Corey? Where are you staying?
Yeah, I'm down in South Loop. It's kind of like on the south side of downtown, north side of South Loop.
Yeah,
a really, really good spot there, and we were there last year, and just we're there again, and Could really ask for more, a better situation.
That's my neighborhood too, man. I'll buy you buy you a beer at Flo and Santos if I see you.
Okay. Well, yeah, we're right in Printer's Row right there.
There you go. All right, Corey. Nice talking to you, man. And congrats on the start and keep it rolling, all right?
I appreciate everything. Thank you.
You got it. That's Corey Lee from the Chicago White Sox. Yeah, man. Obviously, that's a very positive dude who is in the right headspace. and he's an easy guy to root for. And there's some dudes who matter in terms of that for the vibe for Sox fans. So I hope everybody enjoyed that. It is me, Matt Spiegel, here with you on Hit and Run. All right. Let's throw the phone lines open for the rest of this hour, shall we? The phone number is 312-644-6767. We're talking about that Cubs win from last night and everything I described about it in the first segment. They look like a button-up team. You buying it? How scared are you about Ryan Pressly? We'll talk about that. And White Sox fans, if you want to respond to anything Corey Lee just gave you, please do so now at 312-644-6767. Steve Stone at the top of the hour. It's Hit and Run on the Score.
Spring's here. Flowers are blooming, birds are singing, and allergies? Yeah, they're back too. Sneezing, watery eyes. When they hit, you need a tissue fast. That's where Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues come in. Whether you're at home or on the go, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues have you covered. Allergist-approved Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are gentle on your eyes and nose so you can power through allergy season without missing a beat. Because while allergies are unpredictable, staying prepared is easy. For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Moreno has walked and flied out into a double play. Swings and misses, chases a low splitter in the dirt, and that's going to be out number one.
I think the important part is I just learned right now that they were historically good against left-handed pitchers, so I knew ahead of time it might have been different, so I'm glad it was now.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Shota Imanaga, 7 innings last night. Highlight courtesy of 670 The Score. Spiegs with you here on Hit and Run. Yeah, man, Shota threw 7 innings, looking good. He was fastball slider last year. Fastball splitter. And this is a guy who throws 5 pitches, maybe 6 pitches. And remember, they called him the pitching philosopher. And I thought we were going to see, you know, a guy using a lot of different stuff, using a big, wide mix of stuff last year to really try and throw people off. But that's not what he did. He went with fastball splitter, which is essentially straight ball that has some good ride to it and ball that drops straight down that looks like straight ball that has some good ride to it. And you're like, okay, well, that worked incredibly well. He was basically Fernando Valenzuela for a while there at the beginning. Did batters start to adjust? Would batters adjust with an off season? Well, he was still fastball splitter last night. He threw 83% either fastball or splitter. 53% four-seamer, 30% splitter. Shout out to Andy Martinez over at Marquee for looking at it. Because that was the thought process for me all year, was like, when is he going to need to do more? When is he going to need to start using the other stuff? Not yet. Not yet. And don't do it until you have to, folks. Don't do it until you have to. And he looked really damn good. Boy, and it makes a big difference, man. When your starter goes seven, then you go Hodge and Presley. But how scared are you about Ryan Presley? These are among the things to discuss here on 670 The Score. It is Hit and Run. Steve Stone at the top of the hour. But we got time to take your phone calls, and that's what we'll do. We'll start with Tom in Illinois, who is mad at me. I don't know why you're mad. I don't know where you are in Illinois, but give it to me, Tom. What do you got?
I'm not mad at you. I'm down in the Crete area.
Okay.
And it was a great interview with Corey Lee. And it was a long interview, right? So I was surprised. Wow. I kept waiting for Carlton Fisk's name to come up in the conversation, and it never did. So if you could rewind and somehow work Carlton Fisk's name into that interview, how would you have done that? And I'm going to hang up and listen to your response.
Well, I don't know that. Is there any connection between Carlton Fisk and Corey Lee? Hey, Tom, are you still there? I mean, do you know of a connection between Carlton Fisk and Corey Lee? I love Carlton Fisk, but I don't know.
Hey, why didn't you mention Carlton Fisk?
I mean, I love Carlton Fisk. I mean, I know a lot about Carlton Fisk. New Hampshire kid, longtime Red Sox, comes to Chicago, switches numbers from 72 to 27. Ends up being put out in left field shortly after being given a motorcycle by Hawk Harrelson as general manager, you know, and Carlton Fisk, the hitting guru for one Ron Coomer and many, many others. But I have no idea why he would come up in my Corey Lee.
Why would you even compare the two so far?
I don't know. But maybe Tom is either a fan of my love of Carlton Fisk or a fan of Carlton Fisk's. But either way, thank
long
you.
Long
so
interview,
much,
though.
It was good. I enjoyed Corey Lee. This is Guy in Nebraska. Which former ball player are you angry that I didn't bring up? Guy, how are you? Welcome in.
I'm good. I can't think of any right now. I don't know.
All right. Yeah. I'll be here.
Yeah. Yeah, you be there.
All right.
Hey, so my question to you is,
yes,
the starting pitching for the Cubs, not Shota, he's in a different realm, I think, right now, but Steele and Tyon, maybe Boyd, have they gotten messed up with this Tokyo trip out of whack, not like a normal spring training?
You know,
that what's going on the first couple games?
I don't think so. Steele was fine. I mean, Steele wasn't like, he wasn't at his very best, but he wasn't at his very best in Tokyo yet either. So maybe it's taken him a little while.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
So did he ramp up too quick? And that's what I'm wondering.
I understand. I mean, it's possible. It's possible that the Tokyo thing, that we will look at it as certainly a hindrance. Meanwhile, the Dodgers are 5-0. So I think they're okay. Here's the deal. It was worth it for MLB, and it was worth it for the Cubs. Jed Hoyer and Tom Ricketts will tell you it was worth it. As marketing, and I don't just mean dollars marketing, but marketing of yourself to future Japanese players, it was certainly worth it. And it was obviously worth it from MLB's perspective in terms of the revenue and the marketing and all of that. So you just got to kind of deal with it. It also might be a cool thing. Like whatever factors you gain in teammateship, to quote Pat Manley, or to quote Phil Emery on Pat Manley, whatever factors you gain in chemistry are probably worth whatever you will have lost in the first couple of games, if it affected you at all. And again, it was the Dodgers, so who knows. And in the first few games here in Arizona. You've won 2 out of 3 in Arizona. Let's see what Matthew Boyd looks like. He was a piggyback for one of those games in Japan. Went, 4 innings after Tyon went 5, I do believe, in one of the exhibition games. And we'll see how Matthew Boyd looks today. I'm looking forward to watching him. That's a real arm. That is a real live arm who was terrific last year. If he's going to be healthy, that'll be a very good dude to have at the back of your rotation. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Ben in Queens on The Score. What up, Ben? How are you? Hey, Ben. We got Ben, Robbie.
We've lost Ben. We'll get Ben back. Texter says, why didn't you mention Claudel Washington in that interview? That's a great question. It's an absolutely great question. Another texter. I'm not worried about Ryan Presley yet. Am I wrong? Isn't he a guy that's not going to blow guys away so the ball might be put in play? Going to need tight defense. I was more annoyed that Nico wasn't brought in for the ninth. That is interesting. I wonder if Nico was annoyed by that. We'll talk to John Birdie at 11 o'clock, by the way, of the Cubs. Yeah, Ryan Presley is a guy who a couple years ago in 2023, his fastball velocity was in the 63rd percentile in MLB and at 94.7, right? And then in 2024, it went down to 45th percentile, but really only dropped to 93.8. Last night, as he gave up the two-run homer and then a hit after that, and then a walk after that to Ketel Marte, the fastball was up around 94.6, so no noticeable drop from when he was very good in 23. And in 22, when he was very good again with a 62nd percentile, it was at 94.5. So it's not like he's been a guy who throws it 97, 98. What he is a guy with nasty breaking stuff who will induce some bad swings. And you could look at the Corbin Carroll swing. That is a bad swing last night. Dansby Swanson makes the great play, which is the highlight of the game. It is a bad swing from Corbin Carroll on that play. So, look, if you thought that, you know, basically what you're getting is more kind of later at Kenley Jansen in terms of gonna make you have some bad contact a little bit. And you're not getting, like, you know, at his peak, Craig Kimbrell, who's just blowing people away and making everybody miss bats and doing that. That's not exactly what you're getting with Ryan Presley either way. So there could be some drama along the way. We'll take a break, come back, and hit your phone calls and get ready for Steve Stone at the top of the hour on 670 The Score.
What about Tank?
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Welcome back in on 670 The Score. It is indeed Hit and Run. Talking baseball with you. New vibe over on the South Side. We'll talk about it with Steve Stone at the top of the hour. But first, we talk about it with Ron on the South Side right now. Ron, did you go out to opening day? Did you think about it? Were you one of 31,000 or were you watching? What was your vibe on Thursday, man? Because that seemed nice. Seemed really nice.
Yeah, first of all, I hope Ben calls back. He's a great, great, great call and a fan, so I hope he calls back. And that was something funny about Carlton Fisk. Remember one of the strangest plays, though, with Carlton Fisk when he tagged those two runners out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess you should have mentioned that, Speed.
Uh-huh. I'll fight you. Now you did.
Okay, I did it for the caller. But here, regarding the vibe. Speeds,
yo!
I guarantee you, there are maybe 28, 29, I don't know, maybe about Oakland, Timber, that have a good vibe, especially if you're at home. I mean, you should have a good vibe. What I'm saying, Speeds, I'm trying to be positive. I will have a good vibe when I see development of prospects. Look here. When Craig Counsell left Milwaukee, guess what? Brewers went to the playoffs. Terry Francona left Cleveland. What did Cleveland do? Go to the playoffs. Player development.
Yes, sir.
So I get it with management. They lost managers, and guess what? It continues. So, yes, I get it. You have a new manager, and quote, unquote, but – I don't really see any good players. That's why I didn't go. Who am I going to see? That's all I can say. And I've been with this team over about 50 years, but I'll go when Colson Montgomery, Chase maybe comes, the outfield. And the last thing, something that we don't talk about regarding the White Sox. A lot of the mistakes, you know, that team made, one of the biggest – because I think the infield could be pretty good. the first baseman is one of the worst offensive players in baseball. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at his stats. So I when I look around at the team, it makes no good vibe for me. So
understood, Ron. Understood. Look, man, it's the balance. I told you last week, I think the catchers ought to be Edgar Caro and Kyle Teal. Like, those are the two catchers of the future. I want them up by midseason as the catching tandem. But I'm not going to mention that to Corey Lee when I'm talking to Corey Lee on the phone. You know what I mean? It's like, it is a balance of enjoying what you have while you have it and knowing full well that some guys are not the players of consequence yet. And we have talked about that. And that perspective permeates everything. And I get it. Trust me that if I don't voice it on a particular moment, that doesn't mean I'm not conscious of it. And I respect your decision to not allow the good vibes. But Thursday, when there was 31,000 people there and they played a good, clean, crisp game, and the manager was like super psyched after the game to have won his first game, and he's jumping in a laundry cart and getting pushed around the clubhouse and sprayed with champagne for his first big league win as a manager. If you're not going to enjoy that, then what's the point of the exercise on the day to day? This is Ben in Queens on 670 The Score. What's up, Ben?
Nanu, Nanu. can you hear me now?
I got you. It's Ben from Ork on Hit and Run. Yes, sir.
Yes. Well, I am irritated, sir. Not the fact that I get, you know, cut off consistently, but how could you not work Johnny Bench into the Corey Lee interview? How did that happen?
There was no mention of
Lou Whitaker in the opening. How did this happen?
Well, yeah. Right, if I mention Whitaker, I got to mention Trammell. And for Johnny Bench, I could always go Krylon spray paint, of course. Continue,
and
Ben.
They should both be in the Hall of Fame. That's for you, Robbie. Okay, starting with my Cubs thoughts, but I do have something to say on the PBP.
Yes.
First of all, congrats to Shane. The get with Maddox and the interview with Maddox was stellar. The fact that he led with the Rosner line, I think, buttered him up. It was great.
Awesome.
Shane, great. Okay, Cubs. It's the bottom of the lineup, man. If they can churn that bottom of the lineup, and I know it's going to change because everybody wants PCA up at the top. You know, I'm fine with him being down there and having there be a second turn. And Miguel Amaya, I don't want this to be a 50-50 with Kelly. I want Miguel Amaya to be our first string catcher. Kelly, he's had three instances where he's looking like he has Monty Grandal, but he's not catching the ball back there. And Shaw, let him play. Let him play. Let him hit. You know, if Nico's down there, he's going to do his part. So the Cubs, I think, you know, I'm looking forward to the Cubs. I thought they'd be 0-5 by now. The fact that they're 2-3, seriously, I could have dealt with 0-5, 1-4. It's like that's the way it's going to start. So anyway, I'm really jazzed about the Cubs. Now my play-by-play note.
Yes.
Dave Sims yesterday. And for those of you who don't know, you know, John Sterling, when he left, it was like there was a gaping hole for those of us baseball fans who listen to the Yankees broadcast. So Dave Sims is doing awesome. But yesterday, so after the barrage, you know, Susan Walsman goes, you know, you're not going to know what to do with yourself. Your old team didn't score 13 runs in a month. You know, uh-huh. Dave Sims just goes, don't rub it in. 30 seconds later, you know what she does? She goes, oh, yeah, and on the south side of Chicago, the Angels and the White Sox are getting ready to start it. Oh, I bet that'll be a series. Love you, Steve. Goodbye.
Dave Sims is a delight of a man, and Dave Sims will be our guest on the PBP on Tuesday. Tuesday's second complete game episode of my podcast, the PBP Voices of Baseball, will feature Dave Sims, and I already recorded it. He's just a great, great dude. So looking forward to that. Let's squeeze in Marty in Highland Park before we take a break and talk to Steve Stone. Good morning, Marty. Happy baseball season, man.
Steve, great to hear you talking baseball again. Steve, you know, 2 years ago, I got an official divorce from the White Sox. Our lawyers are still negotiating who gets custody of my Sox hat collection. But they won the first game, so I figure I'll listen to the second game.
Yeah.
I can't watch it.
Right.
It's like friggin' 1940. You know, let's crowd around the radio and listen to the ball game. But I listened to it, and I said, oh, my God, it's a bunch of utility infielders. And I compared it to the 1990 Sox. The 89 Sox, I think, finished in last place. And I'm very frustrated. 1990, I looked at that team. You know, Thomas and Ventura and Fernandez. And I said, this is going to be an exciting team. And they won 94 games that year. And I compare it to what the crap that's out there now. And there's nothing in the minors.
Maybe. Oh, that's, I disagree with that, Marty. I'm tight on time, but good to hear your voice. There is stuff in the minors. There is. Not a lot of position players with bop in the minors like Thomas and Ventura. But you could be looking at some young pitchers of consequence. You could find that Hagen Smith and Noah Schultz and Grant Taylor are your Blackjack McDowell and your Alex Fernandez and stuff. You could be sitting in that kind of spot. That is conceivable. Let's talk about that and much more with Steve Stone next on Hit and Run on the Score.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.